is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report, Professor Evan Ellis, the Latin American research professor at the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute. We go immediately to Mexico City, our strong partner in North America. Mexico President AMLO, López Obrador, suggested that Ecuador felt supported by other governments in its raid on Mexico's embassy in Quito, which drew criticism from governments across Latin America. AMLO is saying, couldn't have done this without outside help. Welcome, Professor. I welcome you to a wonderful story of intrigue and innocence and claims of corruption. As I understand the bare bones of it, watching the CCTV provided by Mexico City for this spectacular presentation of AMLO, armed men in masks looking very much like commandos or terrorists burst into the Mexican embassy in Quito, the capital of Ecuador. The reason? To take possession of a former official in Ecuadorian government who's associated, I believe, with Korea, the man who lives in exile after being condemned as corrupt for leading Ecuador into what you'd say questionable relationship with China. In any event, the man was taken possession of. The rough stuff you can see on CCTV, they slap around embassy personnel and leave. Since then, well, a volcano is close to what we were talking about. Every government that I know of has condemned Ecuador. Now the U.S. has condemned Ecuador. This dates to a treaty that was signed at the direction of the UN in 1961 in Vienna. 80 countries came together to shape the treaty, giving immunity to anyone in an embassy that is sovereign territory. You can't go in there and grab them. That was put in place during the Cold War. It remains in place. It's a convention now that everybody acknowledges, except a very good evening to you, Professor. Mexico is demanding Noboa back down. The man who was taken into custody, a former official, a vice president, I believe, is now reported hospitalized again. This tangle of states is not going to unwind easily. Where are we going with this? Noboa is innocent? Noboa is naive? How do you see it, Professor? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. What it appears is that relatively young Daniel Noboa, facing a very frustrating situation regarding Jorge Glass, probably overstepped in his impatience a very important diplomatic precept, which you referred to, the 1961 United Nations Convention on Diplomatic Immunity, with virtually every country in the world, 161 signatories. But the backstory is that under the presidency of Rafael Correa, the anti-U.S. populist who did a lot of dirty projects with China, as well as Brazil's Odebrecht and others. Glass was vice president during the Correa period from 2013 to 2017. He benefited from a lot of those dirty deals. He was actually convicted first in 2017 for a bribery scandal involving Odebrecht, and then he was convicted again in 2020 for using money from another contractor to basically help Correa's election campaign. And so Glass, once he got out of jail in 2020, facing also re-imprisonment again in 2022, he basically took refuge in the Mexican embassy, saying that this was political persecution. The Ecuadorians rightfully said that it violates the spirit of diplomatic immunity, that when you have somebody who's been convicted, to give them diplomatic immunity. And so what it appears happened is that the Ecuadorian authorities decided to go into the Mexican embassy, basically to drag Glass out, to take him back to prison. They took him out. They took him to a prison in Guayaquil. And as you alluded to, there was just a torrent of of condemnation, not over glass, but over the idea of you just can't go into somebody else's embassy, which is considered sovereign territory. And so in very short order, you had leftists like the Brazilians and Colombians condemning it. You had right regimes like even Argentina with Javier Milei and the right center regime of Luis Lacalle Chapo in Uruguay condemning it. You had relatively U.S.-aligned OAS leader Luis Almagro condemning it. You have a special meeting at CELAC in Honduras where they're going to take it up. You have a claim that they're going to take this up before the International Court of Justice at connected with the United Nations. But again, it kind of goes to, on the one hand, the centrality of this principle of diplomatic immunity. And we've seen this play out elsewhere in the region. We saw leftist regimes like the Nicaraguans commonly using their embassies as refuge. So we recall a couple of weeks ago, you had former President Ricardo Martinelli hiding out in the Nicaraguan embassy. You've had others who have gone to take refuge in other embassies. And so the hiding in embassies to escape the law, and the problem that when you have leftist regimes willing to give that refuge and kind of abuse diplomatic immunity, it is a problem. But still, I think the international reaction here suggests that whatever Ecuador's frustrations, the lesson is this is a line that one can't cross in actions going after a fugitive, even if convicted for corruption.
Ecuador is overrun with narco-terrorism, with violence, with threats. There have been several assassinations, one most recently. Noboa is a young president, as you say. The understanding here is that Correa is somehow a bad actor, like a witch standing outside of the sovereign territory directing things. Is that accurate? And is Noboa at war with Correa?
Well, certainly Rafael Correa led a populist leftist movement in Ecuador, which was tied to other populist leftists such as Hugo Chavez and Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, Evo Morales in Bolivia, Daniel Ortega and his wife Rosario Murillo in Nicaragua, among others, referred to oftentimes as the pink tide. But certainly under Correa, what you saw was a very anti-U.S. stance, also building ties with the Chinese, both economic and other ties, military ties in terms of military purchases, etc. And so Correa worked actively against arguably U.S. interests in allied democratic regimes during his time in office. And then when he went out of office, a lot of the corruption that occurred under his presidency was exposed. He's actually in Belgium right now. He was actually forced to flee because he was convicted for corruption on the same one of the same charges that was used against his vice president Jorge Glass. The question of Ecuador, Correa's father had been imprisoned for a good portion of his life in a U.S. prison over drug-related charges. And so there's actually a visceral hatred there with Correa. But Correa's legacy casts a long shadow in Ecuador. His political acolytes, Ecuadorians did a lot of things to avoid them and his party, Citizen Revolution, Revolución Ciudadana, coming back to power. And so when his first acolyte, Andrés Arauz, appeared to be heading for power, Ecuadorians chose a relatively marginal political figure, Guillermo Lasso, to keep Arauz out. In this past election, they chose the son of a wealthy banana farmer, Daniel Noboa, to keep another Correa acolyte out, Luisa González. And so certainly, the legacy of Correa and what Correa has represented in the region casts a long shadow over Ecuadorian politics and in regional politics.
And then, therefore, this flap about the embassy, this benefits Correa, yes? I mean, he might even be participating in it in some fashion, feeding the beast, which is the media internationally. Right now, Noboa stands as the villain here. It's very strange. We're talking about major league, a country damaging corruption, nothing about a couple of glittering diamonds. Ecuador's on fire. It's the second most coming through the Darien Gap, only second to Venezuela. They're fleeing.
Well, certainly going after a group of relatively corrupted elites that were tied to Korea has been one of the key focuses of Noboa in this particular situation against Jorge Glass. And at the same time, we have to recall that the circumstances in which Noboa is in power right now, there was basically a special election that was called, and Noboa is only has until the middle of 2025 to finish out the term of Guillermo Lasso. And so basically, he only has a little bit more than a year to essentially get the very difficult situation in Ecuador under control. And there are many who are tied to Correa, his revolution, citizen revolution movement, who have every interest in seeing that government fail. Because with that failure of Noboa, there's a possibility of Revolución Ciudadana coming back to power. And so there is a certain secondary game playing out in the wings here. And certainly, not only Correa, but other leftists in the region, you alluded to Andrés Manuel López Obrador in Mexico, are doing everything possible to make the most of this, really a big mistake by Noboa, to make Noboa look bad. Even the Mexican foreign minister, Alicia Bárcena, referred to, not even in the times of the worst dictators did somebody do this. And so, in other words, again, trying to kind of capitalize on that to score points against the pro-U.S. center-right government of Noboa. And again, even we in the U.S., with Jake Sullivan, our National Security Council director, felt compelled to condemn what was really, again, just a pretty flagrant and frankly stupid violation. You just don't do this, whatever the reason.
The theme is the law. It is also lawfare. We're headed to Brazil. Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, Latin America is his beat. He's the Latin American research professor. We're going to Brazil and Elon Musk. I'm John Batten.